Let's just pray. Father, I thank you for Rob, Lord. I thank you that he's a father in the house, an elder father appointed by you and given to us, Father. And I pray, Father, that the words that he speak tonight would be from you, Father, that it would be what is on your heart, and that you would, by your Spirit, minister to each and every one of us, God. And change and bring what you need to bring in each of our lives. So we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Rob.
Thanks, Johan. Evening, everybody. Be quiet. Sorry. I'm raffling a cell phone, which I found at the Frontier. Good prices. Here you go, Tia. Okay, just a quick intro. My name's Rob. As Jan shared, one of the elders here. My lovely wife in the Frontier, Leonie. Privileged to share again God's Word. But before we get there, I really would love to honor all the musicians, the AV guys. They want to stand. Where are they? Come on, let's give them a round of applause. Come on. I saw sweat this evening on guys trying to run around and fix this place up so that we can come into and enjoy sound. Just thanks, guys. It's awesome what you do. I really trust that God's going to bless you, double anointings. It's awesome to see guys serving, giving their lives to what the King and the Kingdom has, eh? So awesome. Where do we start? At the beginning. Okay, so we are going to be continuing with the theme that we've been on for about 3, 4, 5 weeks now, I guess. Love and giving. Peter continued with it as well in the finance teaching. Something we've really been feeling that God is wanting to build in us. So I really wrestled with this word, I must say. It was like a wild bull that wouldn't go down. But I really believe that God wants to impart something into us tonight in a foundation of giving healthily. Johan spoke last week. It was actually amazing just on the practicalities of giving. It was phenomenal, eh? So I'm going to be dealing with some of the heart issues. I'm more the heart guy. Open your hearts. Let's trust that God's going to... I'm excited for what God wants to do in us. Where are we doing time? Oh, it's all different times now. So let's start off. So if we look in Revelations 2:4-5, it says this, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first." A place we don't want to be in. And so I'm starting at where we don't want to be, and I'm hopefully trusting how we don't get there. But it's amazing. It says here, you have abandoned the love you had at first. And then it goes on that you did works out of that place of love. And tonight the preacher I'm sharing on about it is last time I did love gives, and now I'm preaching giving out of a place of love. And so we need to be in a healthy place. And in 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, it says, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it says, "Comfort those with the comfort you have received." We need to be able to give like so many of us have stepped into in this time. We need to have received. We need to have received. If we don't receive, we're going to give, and then eventually your petrol is going to run out. So it's important that we continue to be receiving from God. So just a quick story. 2007, the financial crisis hit South Africa, the world. And it hit us really hard. And we were actually on the pantry at that stage. We were really down and out. And one of the things that really blew me, we'd been financially fine. You know, you look after yourself, you do everything. And then all of a sudden, you're in a place of need. And when the church came around with bags of food and financial vouchers, it was like the hand of God touched us. And we were comforted in our place of need. And I think I took over the pantry probably about 6 months later. God restored us financially. But because of what he did, it actually gave me a heart to help other people in that place. And I think that's God can do that in any areas where we are touched by him, that we'll use that for his glory. And so I'm going to leave this little catchphrase with you guys. It says, don't let your output be more than your input. Otherwise, your upkeep will be your downfall. And for all the giving that we're going to be giving in the season, I've been in Josh 10, 20 years, and I've been in church I don't know how many, but you have to get this right. I've burnt out probably close to twice. I think at the beginning of this year, after Elizabeth's East teaching, I realized I was on the verge of being a little bit fried. And so it easily sneaks up with you, and we've got to put things in place that we don't fall into that catchphrase. And so just a couple of what I call flow stoppers to keep the life coming into us. Obviously, one is blatant sin. God's going to turn away from you. You're not going to get life into your life. A key thing that we got to watch in our lives is performance. Performance is a terrible thing. It gets us, it's like a little hamster on a wheel, and you just start running. And you don't know how to get off that thing. So watch in your lives when performance wants to kick in. We're in a beautiful family here. And one of the things we got to do as a family is when we see each other, like getting into a place where, hey, you need to take a break and take a break. Breaks are important. Disappointment, often one of the hardest times for people who are called to be elders, deacons, and that used to be the gathering, because it's like, and they are calling up Fricky and Farnie, and but not me. And so disappointment can hit in, and what do we do with withdrawal? Potentially, depends on how robust you are, or you keep on giving. I think it's Galatians 6 or 7 says, do not grow weary of doing good. Unforgiveness, it's a big one. Richard shared on that. It's a key to freedom, allowing the flow. If you've got unforgiveness, you're going to block God's life in your life. Selfishness, it's all about me. Where the evil eye becomes more important than the holy God. Hurt. We've all been hurt at some stage. What does hurt do? We want to withdraw. We don't want to give. We always draw back. Rejection. I'd love to see more people coming up in the service and sharing words that you've found in the Word or with God speaking to you. Because one of the things that stops us coming up and bringing prophetic words is rejection. It's a terrible thing. I remember I got the calling, you got a prophetic thing on your life, and you know, you're kind of like, I come out of a messed up background, so I was like, how am I going to go and share things at the front? And one of the things was rejection. I had massive rejection in my life, and I never thought it was real. But it's a thing that will stop us giving if we are scared that people are going to reject what we share from God and that. And at the end of the day, we're not called to please people. We're called to please God in a healthy biblical context. Fear of failure. We don't want to look stupid. But we're in an encouragement of love in a culture. In a culture of encouragement and love. So anything that you do that's new, so a lot of us have stepped into new areas of giving. The only way you learn is by making mistakes. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. I wish it was God came down and just pressed the button and we all did things brilliantly. And one of the things we can fear is looking stupid. I remember when I started surfing, when I started mountain biking, all those things. It's like you start as the kook. Coming and preaching here started as the kook. But God grows. As every time we share everything, we've got to be learning. So anyway, this is the part that I really feel like God wants to really impart into our hearts. And it's in Matthew 3:16-17. Because as soon As Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And for me, one of the foundations of giving must be in the scripture. This was like where Jesus started his real public ministry after this. Before that, he would be in obscurity. And you think it starts off, he was baptized. So just a little side note. What is that? That's obedience. And so we're going to be doing some baptisms shortly. So if you've never been baptized, please take a step of obedience. It's like a fast forward on your walk with God. Brings life. But the thing that I really love, it's like, it's "This is my Son." There's authority in that. "This is my Son." The Father saying, recognizing, "This is my Son." And do we recognize that we have sonship? That there's an authority that God's imparted to us that we can operate out of? Then the other one is acceptance. "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." Often we don't operate out of acceptance. We operate trying to be accepted. And that's a terrible place. Because when you know you're accepted, because in Christ, you are accepted. And that you flow out of life then. You're not trying to perform. You're not trying to please. We want to please our Heavenly Father, but it's that heart attitude that is like, will I ever be good enough for God? Whereas in Christ, you are good enough. You're accepted. So many people we've prayed for and stuff, this is one of the key things that trips people up. Trying to find acceptance where you are accepted in Christ. It's very quiet. Thank you, whoever said that at the back. Just another little side note. This is one, I think John Piper said, he said that adoption is more powerful than the universe. And we've been adopted into a family. And it says in Ephesians 1:4, you don't have to put it up, it says, "He chose us in him before the foundation of the world." Before the universe, before all this amazing stuff that's in the thing, he chose us. And I think that's why John Piper says it. And in adoption, well, I've got friends in Melkbos, they adopted a little boy. And when they refer to him, they don't refer to him as, "This is our adopted boy." They refer to him as, "This is our son. He's part of the family. He has the family name. And that's you and me." We're not adopted. We were adopted, but now we're in a family. And when you have family, you have all the rights of the family, the inheritance of the family. And I really believe that God is wanting us to get this into our hearts. And that's only something His Spirit can do. We can hear it, but to trust God, make that real for me. When you have sonship over your life, it brings so much freedom and power. And just, there's a couple of other guys. You know, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Esther was adopted by Mordecai. And then think of this. Jesus was actually adopted by Joseph. Crazy, eh? Powerful thing. Then acceptance through forgiveness in Corinthians 1:13-14 says, "In him," hang on, here we go. "For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." It's very important to know that you are forgiven. Settle that. Doesn't matter what you've done. I've done lots of stuff that was wrong in my past. And it's a battle to fight. You are forgiven. Not because of what you can do, but because of what he did. Because of what he did, you are forgiven. If you have repented and turning, you're forgiven. No more guilt and shame, no more like chains hanging back on you. And sometimes you've actually been forceful about tuning the devil like, hey, listen, I am forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because he will test to see if you really believe it. I know, I've had a few little battles with him. And forgiveness is a beautiful thing. I remember we didn't want to come back to Durbanville. We were in the Melkbos congregation for about 9.5 years, and before that in Sunningdale, and 2 years before we came here, God was like going back to Durbanville. So I grew up in Durbanville. I caused a lot of trouble in Durbanville. Everywhere I went in Durbanville was just bad memories. And so the first day that we went to church was still at Stellenberg, I literally drove to church. I went past the house, slept with a girl for the first time on that same road, wrote off our friend's parents' car, took drugs for the first time, all on the way to the church in Durbanville. And if I hadn't settled in my heart that I was forgiven, it would have blocked me from giving. Settling like, that doesn't matter. All that stuff doesn't matter. Here's the cross, there's me dead, walking into freedom. And that's you and me. So don't let the enemy lie to you guys. Other thing is love. Father says, this is the Son who I love. I love this scripture in Philippians 1:9-11. It goes, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Love is not a once-off thing. Love grows with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Isn't that beautiful? Are we abounding in love? Tap into him. Trust God to get it from, often we know it, God loves me. Yeah. There's ask for transitions to hear. Because when it's in your heart, nothing moves you. Another one that came out of that scripture in Matthew 3:16 thing was approval. Do you have a sense of God being well pleased with you? Or do you always feel like God's about to give you a hiding? Because I've felt like that a few times. Because if you're in Christ, you will experience the approval. But if you're not in Christ, you're going to have that wavering. Does God really approve of me? That's why we need to keep a short account of our lives. The things we do on a daily basis, the things that we use over again, taxis and bosses and things that freak us out, make us angry. God, don't let those things become a blockage. Keep short accounts of your life. Like if you mess up, it's right there. It's like that one movie, it was 30 seconds, deal with it. God, please forgive me. Don't do a four-day journey around a mountain, whipping yourself and beating yourself. In God, repentance is, what does the word say? Repentance comes times of refreshing. It's not repentance, 4 days of desert, 3 days of whippings, 4 Hail Marys, and then God's going to think about it and send you an email. It's there. But that's what we do, don't we? We can often punish ourselves when God has purchased us and got us freedom. Way to go, Michael. And you know, all these things we can try and find in the wrong place. The world is full of it, of trying to file acceptance, approval, getting your authority through power trips and all that that stuff has. And yet we can do the same thing in the church. We can easily do the same things in the church. If that was our pattern before Christ, often it'll be the pattern after Christ. And we've got to learn to unlearn those ways of thinking and doing things. We can want those things from people around us, from leaders, it's easy to get approval from myself, Johan, who are leadership figures in the house, and actually not get who you really need approval from is God. It's good to have approval from man, but you want to get approval first from God, then through man. Because if you've got God's approval, it's man's going to approve from you easily. And then this is one thing I just felt to throw in the mix here, was knowledge versus love. I think knowledge is a dangerous thing. It can be a powerful thing. But why are you gaining knowledge? To know about God or to know God? In 1 Corinthians 8, 1-3, it says here, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up." It's the wrong kind of knowledge. "But love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God." Beautiful, eh? So be careful about all the things that are out there. Don't major on the minors. Because there's a lot of things that are going to distract us about how's this work and how's that work. Are you in faith, hope, and love? You'll get through everything else in life with those things. All those other things that I can't even explain because I'm not a theologian are going to often mess up your head, shipwreck some people's faith. So be wise about what you are chasing after. Chase after love. I often find it easier to follow other people's examples. In Philippians 2, 17-18, it goes, this is Paul's life. "But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you." A life being poured out and he rejoicing. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1:6-7, it goes, "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." I hope that's right. So who can we imitate so that we can become those examples? So I've been in Justin about 20 years. So Andrew and MC were my first role models. And probably MC more than Andrew. Because MC was born with spinal bifida. She came to this church plant with her side almost splitting open after having a major surgery. She was supposed to be dead when she was 6 months old. The doctors said she wouldn't live. She's somebody who just pours out her life. And a lot of you won't see that. But she is one of the foundations of what we are built on. Her sacrifice, pouring out her life for the King and the Kingdom. That wasn't supposed to happen. You know, she never moans. I've never seen MC moan once. She's lost body parts. She just goes for Jesus. It's phenomenal. And it's so easy to look at Andrew. I mean, I love Andrew and he's a phenomenal thing. But it's easy for us to look at the apostle and think, but then when you look at a life like that as well, that touched me. You know how many times that killed self-pity? I think like, woe is me, you know, doing that. And then you're like, here comes empty. And she was like that in everything. I remember on the first church camp, we went, I don't know where it was, Beaver Lake in the Cedarburg, and then we were doing, now this is all the young, we were the young macho men back then, jumping off high cliffs. And there was one cliff that like, there's not, and MC was the first person to jump off that cliff. It's like, whoa, what now? And now all the mana are like, oh dear. And we need people to be spiritually like that. People inspire us to do and give what we think is impossible. I'll pick on this couple here, Johan and Tanya. Now, when I first met Ryan, I described Johan and Tanya as, if you came into a village, you'd probably eat at their place the first time, the first night. That we can follow. Nigel and Tanya's house is like a train station. I mean, I don't know how many railway lines go through there, but it's like, and they're the first to put their hands up. And I'm probably going to miss out a lot of guys, but it's just the guys I felt that I like tonight. Ryan and Tracy, they're not in here at the moment. But you know what's blown me away about them? There's just a generosity on how they live life. It's a beautiful thing. Now, those are things sometimes you can't see in yourself, but you can see in other people's lives. Imitate others and be an example. There's Jesse. I love little Jesse. Hey? He's also a brown, eh? But I love the way Jesse's just like, he's just below the radar and he's always giving, always serving, always got a smile. I can't even see. Where is he? Oh, there you are, hiding. Do you want to stand, Jesse? Yay. Another thing that really touched us in the early days of life, we went to an outreach to PE Church, Oxygen Life, and we stayed with a couple, Sean and Angela, and they had two boys, young boys, they were probably like, I don't know, 4 and 6 or something, you know, so the house was chaotic, and we were like, okay, like, we got there late, we were going to sleep. They gave us their main bedroom to sleep in. It was like a hotel in there when we walked in there. You know, the turned back, the little towels, the chocolates. In their own house, they gave us their main suite. And they slept on blow-up mattresses in their boys' room, who were noisy little oaks. So I don't think they slept much. But you know, that touched me about not giving my space, little holy things. Oh, it was... And our house was like Nigel and Tanya's house for I don't know how many years. And then I think God said, okay, it's time to receive a little bit. Because we had people living with us. We did the same thing to people. When that's been done to you, how can you not do it to others? And then I got a friend, Charles. Charles is probably not the most gifted of guys. He never thought he would be a lead elder, but that I just poured his life out. He would do like 3 visits a night with people. I was like, you know, he destroyed my perception of like self-preservation. And there was times he had to like slow down, but he just gave himself. And I'm not saying we must do that, but you got to know what your capacity is. But it's like when you watch people like that and just his love for people. I mean, he's like super pastor on steroids. And then God takes him into Namibia and he's leading a church on his own and just amazing life. And he's somebody who never thought that God would do that in his life. Phenomenal man and his wife. So we're surrounded by people who love us and encourage us, hopefully. That's the culture we're wanting to be breeding amongst us. So Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, it goes, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching. Doesn't matter what's going on in the news, the day is approaching. And tomorrow is another day nearer to the day approaching. See, that's not majoring on small things. It's just the day is approaching. So we need to encourage one another. And often, I'm going to use a cycling analogy because that's what I do, I cycle. One of the things in cycling is, mountain biking particularly, actually roadies do it as well, but you get to a place where you ride and then you've got to get to a stage where your shoes clip into pedals so you become one with the bike. And all of us have been there. All of us have fallen. All of us have looked stupid. All of us have maybe gone over the handlebars because it's quite awkward. And every time there's a new guy comes along, we all kind of know, like, he's at the cleat phase. And often guys cannot transition from cleats. It's like, man, I'm going to go over the stile and I'm going to be stuck to the bike and I'm going to fall over, and it has happened to people and been concussed in hospitals. And, or I'm just going to get to the robot stop and then forget to, and just fall over, and that happens. And often that's life, isn't it? We get to things that we're too scared to do. But yet, if you're a good bunch of guys on the bike, you're like, no, man, you can do this. We'll take you around this way. It won't be so hectic. You'll learn skills. That's encouraging one another. It is always quite funny, though. And you know, the thing that often, when guys realize how cleats help them, it's next level. Because when you're climbing, you just climb way better. You got more control. You become one with the bike. It's like so spiritual. I'm one. And then when you get to the top of the hill, going downhill, which is almost like the other side of the cross, going up the hill, going downhill is like the joy set before you. Because going downhill with cleats is phenomenal, because you can jump the bike and you can do all kinds of things. You're one with the bike. And isn't that what we process in life often? So next time you see someone struggling to, just think of the cleat story. And often leaders are going to see that in guys. They're going to go, hey, yes, Aaron, we really think that you can do this. And you might be like, oh, I don't think so. And that's encouraging. We're seeing what other people can't see. Encourage them. Give yourself. You'll do this. How are we doing for time? So another cycling story. These are not stories. These are actually parables of the modern century. So there's another thing that can happen when you're cycling. It's called hitting the wall. So it's a phenomenon. Yeah, you don't actually hit a real wall, but you hit a physical wall in your body. And actually, I think I was on one ride with Andre when he actually said to me, "Muni fumaisulela kaike." Well, I think I'd hit the wall because I was riding with these young guns. But probably about a month ago, I went out with two guys that are really strong. He just came second in veterans and SA champs. And the other guy runs like, he's like Hrobler, Sky runs and stuff like that. They're like 14 plus years younger than me. So they're like, hey, do you want to join Friday? Oh, cool. So I get up. I don't eat. Mistake number one. I think we're just going on a little ride. You know, I take one little energy bar. I've got some water. And then off we go. And we just ride. It's like, hey, let's go up here. Let's go down here. Let's go up there. Let's go down here. And so we've done like three big climbs now, and I'm not finding this funny anymore. I am like, you know, and they're like, eh. And this other guy, some of you may know Lawrence. It's Lawrence's rest day, and I'm dying, and Lawrence is going up the hill, down the hill. Hey, Rob, you cool? I'm like, I'm dying. I'm fine. But we did the last climb coming out of Contemans Kloof, and I actually wanted to throw up. I was like, I'm finished. And they were like, come, eat this. And you don't want to eat when you're in that space. You just like, everything's gnar and bleh. So the last thing you want to do is eat but it's the best thing for you. And often if we exert ourselves too much in life, that's what it can be. We need to get water into our systems. We need to have food in our systems. I don't leave the house nowadays without a big bowl of oats. Doesn't matter whether I'm going to the cafe and back. Because I'm not bonking again. Or hitting the wall, as they call it. But spiritually then, it's like, and I said, I don't know, weeks ago, if we leave here and we only eat here and we only eat on Wednesday, spiritually, we're going to be malnutritioned. It's important that we feed on the Word, find times of the Spirit. It's another scripture, just being empowered by the Holy Spirit. I love the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces, because of what Jesus did, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You can do that tonight. You can do that tomorrow. You can do that in your car. You can do that on Wednesday. You can do that whenever and however, if you position yourself to seek God in His presence. So don't only do it here and on Wednesday nights. Wherever you are, seek God. In your car, in the shower, wherever. God's too glad to meet with you guys. And then another scripture just about God's powers. In 2 Peter 1:3, it goes, and I love this, because often we think we can't do anything, but this is God's word. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Isn't that amazing? His power has enabled us to do everything. Two quick things, like what Jesus did. He drew aside. We didn't spend time with the Father. We can do that. And God rested. Do you think God really needed to rest? I mean, He can do anything, and yet He rested. And then there's days we think like, man, God's in me, but I don't need to rest. I can just run, flat box. But yet even God, who created all this, rested. So two more scriptures. A lot of scriptures tonight, but I think it's important that we read scriptures regularly. I love this in Proverbs 5:15-6. It goes, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares. Are you drinking water from your own cisterns? We are a temple that is filled with the Holy Spirit. But if our cistern, our well, whatever, is a little bit bunged up, it's going to take effort to deal with those things that might be blocking what we shared earlier in the preach. And then Psalm 23:5-6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Doesn't matter where you are. In the presence of your enemies. And for most of us, it's probably at work or on the roads. Not in church. And often we think there's a table here, but there's a table out there that God has for us. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are we a people whose cups are overflowing? Despite. I know it's a challenge, but that's what God says we can have. And I think if we do this, if we continually eat and drink whenever we can from God's Spirit, this is a little bit of a cheesy cliche, we will arrive alive. Everywhere we go, we will arrive alive. We won't be dead, half bleeding, I need like spiritual hard things on me, we'll arrive alive. Not all the time, but most of the time. We'll be a people that has a psalm to sing, a song. We will have a prophetic word. We will be full of His presence, full of His life. We will be people that add momentum, who've given ourselves. And so I want to trust that God will give us the ability to shift our mindsets, that He wants to hang out with us. His word says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Not just Sunday and Wednesday. Every day of the week, God will draw near you. On your bicycle, behind your computer, you can have a conversation while you're doing work if you want to. God wants to meet with us. So I'm going to leave and end off with this again. Don't let your output be more than your input. Otherwise, your upkeep will be your downfall. And I'm not saying this is a fear thing. I'm really trusting that this is going to be a foundation that we're going to give out of. Out of life. Not out of all those other things that drive us and that, but out of life. Thank you, babes. Yeah. I'd love to pray for us. Maybe let's all stand. Let's just close our eyes. Firstly, if there's anybody here, love to just give you an opportunity. If you have never given your life to Christ, never given your life to Christ, or you've given your life but you've taken it back and turned away, I'd love to just give you an opportunity to give yourself again, or to give yourself for the first time. Because God is a God who gave Himself to reach us in our sinful, dying states that we find ourselves in before Christ. So if there's anyone here, love, just by show of a hand, just stick your hand up that you want to give yourself back to Christ or to give your life to Him for the first time. Anybody? There we go. Thank you. See you in there. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for that man who's just given his, who responded to you. I'm not sure why, Lord, but I want to just pray, Lord, that you touch him right there now, Lord. That you would just bring a sense of acceptance, approval, restoration into his heart, his life, Lord. God, that he would know your heart, Lord. He would know the freedom that comes from knowing Christ. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just someone coming back to a deeper space in you, God. You are so awesome, God. And then for the rest of us as the church, I've touched many things tonight. Acceptance, performance, things that block our flow. I'd love to just pray if we're struggling with stuff. I'd love to just pray, just a prayer over us. Just like maybe just pop up your hand. Like if I'm struggling with stuff, I'm struggling to give, I struggle with acceptance, I struggle with sonship, whatever. I'd love just to pray that God would break things in our heart, that the flow of life that needs to come for us would be there. So anybody, just thank you, thank you. Thank you for the hands. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, God. Lord, you see each hand, Lord. You see each need. You see each request. You see each person drawing near to you. Lord, I want to pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd come now supernaturally and just touch hearts, God. Break performances. Break a sense of, I'm not worthy, Lord. bring them into acceptance, bring them into a place of knowing that they have the authority of the household of God. Worship you, God. Worship you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, just touch lives, Lord. Do a deep thing, God. Let there be a sense of walking out here with freedom, Lord. Hearts, shackles broken, Father God. Lives change because they encountered the living God, Lord. They turn to the God who can set us free, like we sang in that song. You break chains, Lord. You break chains, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you know each person who's responded intimately, God. Intimately, God. There's nothing that you don't know. I pray that there would be a sense of just your grace and mercy over lives tonight, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, God. Worship you, God. Keshutara maksutera makatara. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so faithful, God. It's your loving kindness, Lord, that leads us to repentance. Lord, I pray that there would be a line drawn in the sand tonight in these lives that have responded to you, Lord. A line of freedom, a line of grace, a line of mercy, God. Where there maybe would have been judgment and wrath. Thank you, Lord.
I felt earlier that God was speaking to people that had shackles around their feet, and he gave me the scripture. For those of you who want to go read it, it's in Isaiah 60, verse 17. He says, I will not bring you bronze, but instead I will bring you gold. I will not bring you iron, but I will bring you silver. You will not have wood, but you will have bronze. I will not bring you stones, but I will bring you iron. And I will make your ruler righteousness and peace. And I really believe that it is a promise of new things to come. That the current circumstances, if you are currently in a circumstance of wood, then God says he's going to bring you stone. If you're currently in a circumstance of bronze, that God says he's going to bring you gold. Because the bronze shines like false gold, but only real gold shines like real gold. So there's a promise for interaction. There's a promise for change.
Yeah, Lord, just thank you for just this time that you've been with us, Lord. Just trust as we go out from this place, Lord, that you are just, not you are just, Lord, you're always willing, Lord, that we would have a greater awareness of your desire to be with us, Lord. To eat with us, to drink with us, to fellowship, to have relationship, Lord. And so we worship you tonight, Lord. And wrap. So on that note, we're gonna wrap it. If you feel like God is still touching you and ministering to you, well, to just come up front maybe and sit as the worship guys, just strum along. But for the rest of us, have a great week. Be blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen.